was detaching. 40 rings broke away from the spine of the Santiago.
"Dear God," said Armesto, when he must have seen what was happening. "Dear God, Hausmann, no, you can't do that."
"Too late," I said. "I'm already doing it.
Those are living people."
I smiled. "Not anymore." And then I turned my attention back to the view, before the glory of what I had done had passed. Truly, it was beautiful to watch. Cruel, too, I admitted that. But what was beauty without a little cruelty at its heart? Now I knew I'd win. We took the Zephyr to the behemoth terminal, the train hauled by the same huge dragon-like locomotive that had brought Quiddenbach and me into the city only a few days earlier. Using what little reserves of currency I had left, I bought a fake identity from one of the marketeers, a name and a cursory credit history just about robust enough to get me off the planet and, if I was lucky, into refuge. I had come in as Tanner Mirabel, but I did not dare try and use that name again. Normally it would have been a matter of reflex for me to pull a false name out of the air and slip into that disguise, but now something made me hesitate when selecting my new identity. In the end, when the marketeer was about to lose his patience, I said, "Make me Skylar Hausmann." The name meant almost nothing to him, not even the surname worthy of comment. I said the name to myself a few times, becoming sufficiently familiar with it that I could act with the right start of recognition if my name came over a public address system, or if someone whispered it across a crowded room. Afterwards, we booked ourselves onto the next available behemoth making the haul up from Yellowstone. "I'm coming, of course," Quiddenbach said. "If you're serious about protecting Ryvich, I'm the only way you're going to get anywhere near him."
"What if I'm not serious?"
"You mean what if you might still be planning to kill him?"
I nodded. "You've got to admit it's still a possibility."
Quiddenbach shrugged. "Then I'll simply do what I was always meant to do. Take you out at the earliest opportunity. Of course, my reading of the situation is that it won't come to that. But don't imagine for a moment that I wouldn't do it."
"I wouldn't dream of it."
Zebra said, "You need me, of course. I'm also aligned to Ryvich, even if I was never as close to him as Quiddenbach."
"It might be dangerous, Zebra."
"What? And visiting Gideon wasn't?"
"Fair point, and I'll admit I'm grateful for any help I can get."
"Then you'll want me as well," Chantrell said. "After all, I'm the only one of us here who really knows how to hunt someone down."
"Your gaming skills aren't in question," I said, "but it won't be like a hunt. If I know Tanner, and I'm afraid I may know him as well as he knows himself, he won't be following any rulebook."
"Then we'll just have to play dirty before he does, won't we?" For the first time in ages, I laughed a laugh that wasn't totally insincere.
"I'm sure we can rise to the occasion."
Quiddenbach, Zebra, Chantrell, and I lifted an hour later, the behemoth making one arcing swoop over Chasm City before lofting itself into the lowering clouds, twisted like phantasms by the collision between Yellowstone's relentless winds and the belching updraft of the chasm itself. I looked down, and the city looked tiny and toy-like. The mulch and the canopy hardly separated at all, compressed into one tangled and intricate urban layer.
"Are you all right?" Zebra said to me, returning to our table with drinks. I turned away from the window.
"Why?"
"Because you almost looked like you missed the place."
When the journey was almost over, when the success of what I had planned was becoming apparent, when, openly, they were beginning to talk of me as a hero, I visited my two prisoners. In all the years, no one had ever located the chamber deep inside Santiago.